I appreciate the opportunity to be here to share with you today. As I set up here, I truly get the feeling that this is a family. You know, although there's many folks out here, that this is one family, and it really blesses me to know that you folks have come together, as you do on a regular basis, and you've become a family. That is so important in today's society, that we maintain, although we're one of many, we are still one family. And it's important that we, for these young children to have that continually in front of them so that they know that if mom or dad happens to not be here and they get in trouble, they can go to someone here in their family. And I really appreciate that. I want to, first of all, thank God for the ability that He has given and for the opportunity that He has given to me today to be here with you. God is doing some wonderful things with the church. If we will allow Him to work with us, and if we will stay focused on the Lord, then we're going to achieve the goals that He has set for us to accomplish. When I first was told that I was going to be used to be bringing forth God's Word by God, quite honestly, I was pretty nervous. And I thought, well, you know, how is God going to use me? I'm not a man of many words, and I'm not one that is real philosophical. Theology is not in my background. I thought, well, God, how are you going to use me? You know, I'm just not a good speaker. And God told me, and I'll quote this to you. He said, all you have to do is be willing to serve. In all actuality, you don't have to say a thing. If you'll let me, I'll do the talking. End quote. I'm willing. I'm a willing servant. So here I am. I am happy to be here and thankful for the opportunity to share from God's Word. The scripture this morning comes from a passage that we all know. We have heard it 100, 300, 400 times. But I want us to take a look at it this morning and look at it as if through the eyes of Peter. So if you will, turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 14, and that is in the Pew Bible, page 16, if you'd like to follow along. And I share with you this morning from the New American Standard. Chapter 14 of Matthew, and we'll begin at verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked to the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. An archer, when he draws back his bow with the arrow knocked, he takes aim at that target. He doesn't pay any attention to his surroundings. the crowd or whatever he does not allow to enter into his sights. You see, he has gotten a target that he has set his sight on, which he wants to achieve. Likewise, a professional baseball player. The pitcher, when he stands on the mound, he pays no attention to the crowd. He focuses on that catcher's mitt because that's right where the catcher says, put the ball. And the pitcher focuses on that catcher's mitt so that he may deliver the perfect pitch. A golfer, when he stands at the tee, he doesn't pay attention to the gallery, to the caddy, to anyone else around him. The only thing he focuses on is that ball, so that when he swings through, that he may make contact with his target. That's his target. That's what he's looking to acquire. There's no difference in our spiritual walk, be it an archer, a pitcher, a contractor, a secretary. There's absolutely no difference. Once we set a sight and we set our spiritual sight, that's what we should do. We should pay no attention to the things that come in around us and could distract us. When Peter asked for confirmation, he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. You see, Peter's no knucklehead. Peter is a fisherman, or was a fisherman by trade. He knows what happens when you step out of a boat in the middle of the sea. You're going to get wet, generally. That was his life. He spent his life on the sea. He knew as long as he stayed inside that boat, he was high and dry. But as soon as he stepped out of that boat on his own, not in the water, you're going to get wet. But he said, when Jesus said, told them that it was him that was coming to them, do not be afraid, it is I. Peter said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. You notice he didn't say in the water. He didn't say, command me to swim toward you. He said, if it is you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water. Peter remains focused. He knows that as soon as he steps out of the boat, that his focus is on Jesus, that his focus is on the Lord, that is exactly where he has to get to. Without any doubting, Peter didn't doubt. At the word of him who called him, at the word of Jesus when he said, come, and in the presence of him who called him, without delay, Peter got out of the boat and began to walk. Peter began to walk on the water. I say Peter was a fisherman. He knew that the safety inside that boat would be there. He didn't know when he stepped out of that boat, but he had that assurance from Jesus when he said, come, that he knew exactly where his target was and what his goal was. And if Jesus commanded him to come to him on the water, then he could do it. Peter got out of the boat and began to walk toward him. Now, it doesn't say how far, you know, as far as the distance that Peter walked, which is really not too relevant to the story. The focus is that Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water toward Jesus because if he had been called. Unfortunately, we, like Peter, allow circumstances to creep in, don't we? You know, we have been given a task as well to spread the word of God, to make disciples. And it's hard. You know, it's hard for us to see that. But it's a goal that we have been given, just as Peter was given a goal to come to Jesus on the water. We've been given a goal to make disciples. And it's easy for us because we can at least know that we're working on solid land, solid ground. Peter didn't, when he stepped out onto that water, all he saw was the Lord. and he was able to walk on the water because he kept his focus. And then when his situation started creeping in, what does it say? It says Peter's began to sink. We often think that when we're given a task, that our situations come up and we have folks that will say, well, you know, that's going to be rather hard to do. And, sometimes we wonder if it's even worth the effort to do what we've been commanded. For us to spread the word, for folks to see. And we get discouraged, and it's unfortunate, but we are human. We are human. Fortunately, as a general rule, we don't throw up our hands and walk away. What do we have to do? Sometimes we have to reorganize. You know, Peter didn't sink. It said he began to sink. It didn't say he sank. It's no different for us. You know, there are times when we're set out on a goal and we begin to sink. But what did Peter do? Peter cried out. He said, Lord, save me. That's all we have to do. We're set out on our goal as whatever it may possibly be. And we set out and, you know, things aren't working and this has come up and this has come up. Lord, save me. Get me back on track. I've let things creep in that I shouldn't have. Lord, save me. So that I may be back on track, on focus to you. When God gives us a task, He has given us a task that He knows that we can achieve. Because His Word tells us that He will not give us more than we can handle. So we know that it's achievable for us. It didn't say it was going to be easy. You know, faith comes by trials. It's just like patience. If you've ever asked for patience, how do you acquire patience? You acquire patience through tribulations. Same thing with faith. You acquire faith by trials that come at you. You know, my faith in God is there. I know that He says it's so and it's so. Forget the circumstances that come up against you. Study. Keep focused on God's faith. That's where it's at. When God assigns us a task, He's not going to leave us. He's not going to say, Kevin, I'd like for you to do this. Go, do it. You know, He's not going to say, just however you see fit, go do it. You see, when God assigns us a task, He's right there with us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to walk 5 steps behind us. He's right beside us. And when we think that we're in trouble, we say, Hey, Lord, I got this. What do we need to do? And it's okay to do that. That's what we need to do. We need to say, I'm having some difficulties here. What should I do? We take them to Him. Say, Lord, be with me. Guide me as to the direction that you want me to go. And He will. You see, Peter's faith got him moving. His faith got him out of the boat because Peter knew the voice of the Lord. Jesus told him, He said, do not be afraid, it is I. And Peter asked for that confirmation. If it is you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. How far did Peter get? Well, we know that we're not sure exactly how far, but we do know this. As he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Verse 31 says, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and lifted him up. So he was that close. And the situation, the wind howling and the waves lapping up at his ankles began to get the best of him, and Peter began to sink, and he was that close. He was an arm's reach away. Now that's amazing. It's unfathomable. You know, here I am, an arm's reach away from the Lord, and I'm beginning to sink. But at least Peter had the sense to know that things have gotten more than I can handle. Lord, save me. And the scripture says that Jesus immediately, didn't say Jesus ran to Peter to lift him up. It says immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and lifted him up. And then Jesus asked Peter, he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And as I read that and I read it again and I reread it for the umpteenth time, I could almost imagine as Jesus asked Peter that question, that he had a grin on his face. He said, "Peter, you almost made it. You were this close." It wasn't a chastisement, or a very rough chastisement, in my opinion. I believe that it was, "Peter, you were this close. If you only held on just a little bit longer, you would have made it all on your own." And that's it's an encouraging, you know, why did you doubt? You know, why do we doubt? When God calls us and he says, "Bethel, this is what I want you to do." Why do we doubt? We should set that target, whatever God has told us that he wants us to accomplish. We set it up and we all focus on that item, on achieving that goal. That's what we need to do. And it's everyday life, everything. We need to set it up just as God has made us to achieve each of our own goals. And then we work toward it. And if situation creeps in and we get off track, what do? "Lord, help me." And he'll put us back on track. He'll put us where we need to be. You know, Jesus knew Peter's faith. He knew, of course, that Peter was the first chosen of the disciples, and that he knew that upon Peter, the church would be built. Jesus knew Peter's faith. He knew that he had tremendous faith. And it was an encouragement to Peter. "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And I want us to remember that and let that be an encouragement to us to achieve all of the goals that God has set before us. And with that, we can do it. In closing, I would like to share with you some scripture from Ephesians in chapter 4. And this is my prayer for you. "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerances for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Amen.